enough, but I'm ready to go. Amen. It's good to be here. We're thankful for the opportunity. We appreciate Brother Savage and him opening up the pulpit to us. He called, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but he called some good friends of ours in North Carolina to check up on us. Brother Andrew Smith there at the Indian Church. It never even crossed my mind that Brother Smith would be a good reference for me. I don't know. I know some folks get called and some folks don't. It just never dawned on me. But we love that church there in Pembroke. Good Indian holiness folk. Amen. But we appreciate what we feel right now. You know, it's always wonderful to be in God's house with God's people. But more than that, it's good to be in God's house in His presence. When you get to God's house and you have a meeting with the God of the house, that's what we look forward to.
That's right.
Amen. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with us, we're going to go to Psalm 27. And I'm just going to try to share my heart with you tonight. I feel like the Lord's give us something to try to encourage somebody here. Psalm 27. When you get there, if you don't mind standing with us, if you're able, for the reading of the word, and if it gets too lengthy, we're going to read all 14. If it gets too lengthy, I understand. You can sit down. Amen. Psalm 27, starting with verse number 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." Pay attention right here. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord."
Yes.
14, one more time. "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord."
All right.
Pastor, would you take us to the Lord and ask God to help us?
Blessed Lord, we are grateful for the privilege to worship You in spirit and in truth. We ask that Your blessings will rest upon this service and rest upon our brethren. May that anointing and that unction of the Spirit, God, make the Word of God alive and real to our hearts, so we may be benefited by it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing with us. If the Lord will help me tonight for a little while, I'm going to try to preach a simple title, Still Waiting on God. Still waiting on God. Wait on the Lord. I looked up the word wait in the Hebrew that it meant. And I may start off kind of slow, But that word weight in the Hebrew writing, it meant to bind together, perhaps by twisting. To expect, look patiently, tarry, or wait. And I got to looking at this thing. It says, my Bible, it gives who is credited, if you will, as to writing this psalm. And for Psalm 27, it says, a psalm of David. David is writing this, and I got to thinking about how, you know, if you dive back into these psalms, we know they're not necessarily in chronological order. They're not necessarily done by when David was, when he learned how to write and the things he went through. They were put in a order, but not in that kind of order. They're broken up, and some of them were written by Asaph and some by others. But I got to thinking about all the things that David went through. And some of them, you know, they didn't even know who wrote it. But if you just flip back to some of these, looking at who wrote them and looking at where they came from, the very first psalm, it doesn't say who wrote it. That very first psalm, it stuck out into my mind, and I got to thinking about how it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It goes on to say that he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water. He'll be not able to be moved. The wind and the chaff, they'll drive away. But that tree, that it will be planted and it will remain, because he'll be blessed, because he's not been entangled with the things of this life. I just picture in my mind, if you will, since we don't know the way this thing came to me, is that David had pinned down this psalm, but he pinned it down in the past tense. He said, blessed is the man. The psalmist said that I've been through some things. I've come across some hard times. I've been in some situations, and I have found out the hard way that I'll be blessed if I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I've seen some things in my day, and I've learned the hard way that I'd be blessed if I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I've seen some thing in my day, and I've learned some hard lessons, and I'll come out glorious if I'll just trust in the Lord with all my heart. I've seen something in my day, and I'd rather be blessed and be intertwined and be tangled with the people of God and worship in spirit and truth than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We struggle many times in life with who we should turn to for advice, who we should turn to spill out our hearts, who we should turn to just to talk to. But the psalmist said, because of some sensible evidence of some places he'd been, I'm amazed at how he wrote it in that past tense, because he'd been there before. Oh, when you've been there before, you can tell somebody how to do it. Oh, it's real good when a young Christian can sit at the feet, or if you will, at the table with a seasoned elder and just listen to him simply because he's been there before. It's real good when you can take advice from your dad and your granddad on some things of life that you never thought you'd face, simply because they've been there before. It's real easy, friend. Oh, we think we know it all. We think we have ability in ourselves, but the moment in time that we learn that we're blessed when we go to the people of God for the strength and the help, and we tangle ourselves with people of like faith, we'll be blessed more than we can imagine. Blessed. The psalmist, I'm just trying to follow the Lord. Y'all just understand my burden here. He did it. He said it. He wrote it because he had seen it before. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O my God, yes, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Yes. It's past tense. It was written after He came through it. 5, verse number 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto my voice and my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shout here in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer to thee and will look up. It's after he's come through it that he's made a decision that it's God's voice that he's waiting for. It's after he's come through it that he's put it down, submitted in his heart, that he wants to entangle himself with the people of God and with the voice of heaven. All the things of this life are going to push me around, but I will not be bent. I will not bow. I will not falter anymore. I'm waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Psalm 13 and 1. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Yeah. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when we get saved and we feel that glorious wash. But then, after a while, once the newness of wore off and the battles rage harder and harder, oh, the person that goes on to sanctification and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a wonderful thing. But sooner or later, the war that we are in will be harder sometimes than what we expected it to be. And all of a sudden, we've not heard the voice of God in days. And we feel like God couldn't be any further from us. And we think he has forgotten us. We think that he has had amnesia and we're not there anymore. We feel like he no longer knows who we are. But David, time after time after time, he comes through the storm. He comes through the trial. Every single time, he is reminded of who God really is and what God can do. And now we're here at the most famous psalm there is, the 23rd psalm. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I counted them up one time. Unfortunately, I didn't write it down. But the continual, the active actions in the 23rd psalm, I think it was something like 13 in 6 verses, where God is in active. Psalm 1, it was in the past. Psalm 3, it was in the past. Psalm, I think it was 8 I read from, it was in the past. 12, in the past. It was a reminder of where he'd been. He wrote it down afterwards. But where was he at and what was he facing the moment that he pinned down, the Lord is my shepherd? It was currently on his mind. It was currently on his heart. It was currently in the forefront, because what had he seen the day before? What had he heard that morning? What glory had he come up against that God shown himself active and true in that very day? I'm here to tell somebody, when you entangle yourself with the hand of God, he will never fail you. He won't leave you behind. It won't just be a past action, but he will be an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So now, I just want to break this down. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That would be like saying, I will not have any other desires. I will not go without anything else. I have no other needs. We'll call out to God time and time again. We reach out, we reach up, we reach down, we fast, We read until we're so sleepy we can't read anymore. We pray sometimes till we've got absolutely nothing left, and the Spirit prays for us until we're blue in the face, till we've dried up of all of our tears, till we've got a headache. We've prayed so hard at times. I remember one year my mother told me I won't there. My mother said my little brother prayed so hard at youth camp one year that when he got up from the altar he had blood blisters in his cheeks and his eyes were bloodshot simply because he prayed and called out to God so hard. Oh, it would be nothing for the physical body to get absolutely worn out from the things that we feel like we want and the things that we know we need. When we need the hand of God to perform a miracle, when our flesh can't take anymore, and we're looking to God for strength, and we're looking to Him for joy. But the psalmist wrote, because of the present participle, because where God stood right in that moment, He said, I shall not have a need. I don't need anything else but God in my life. I don't need anything else but His presence to be tangled with my heart. We're right here. We are pursuing the end of 2017. Folks are gearing up for the holidays. Overtime's being worked like crazy. Money's being spent hand over fist. Children feel like they need this and this and this and this. Parents feel like they need a whooping. Parents feel like the parents need a break. Everybody feels like everybody needs a nap. But really what we need the most, the presence of an almighty God. What we need and what we need most is for somebody to entangle themselves with the Lord and say, I will hang right here. I will stay right here. I will not move any further. I won't turn back anymore. I won't be bent. I won't be changed. My mind is made up. My foot is on a solid rock. I'm staying right here in the presence. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no other needs. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Can I just tell you, on the way here, I felt like there were some folks that just needed some rest. That when you got on your knees, you didn't need at tonight. This is just how I feel. There's some folks here that when you get on your knees in this altar, you don't need the excruciating prayer time. You don't need to weep and cry another prayer tonight. You don't need it to be the same as it's been for the last couple weeks. You need to be able to rest for a few minutes. My Lord. Now I'll go ahead and tell you how thankful I am to get to see and talk to the McDonald family. They've been real good to get to know them the last couple of months. Running into you all over the country. It's just good. Good to hear you sing. Good. Yeah, just be honest with you, brother. You singing just makes me want to sing. I almost didn't have preaching voice. It's just good. But even the preacher at times needs to be able to take a moment and rest. Even the king at times has to be able to take a moment and rest. Even the man of God at times has to be able to go to God and without straining himself, without putting himself through the grinder again, needs to be able to say, He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me. Sometimes it ain't easy just to lay down. Sometimes it ain't easy just to put my burdens at his feet. Sometimes it ain't easy to let him take over. But he maketh me to lie down. He's here tonight to let somebody take your burdens and drop them at his feet for just a little while. He's here tonight to relieve some pressure for just a little while. He wants you to wait on him for just a little while. He restoreth. I went ahead of myself. He leadeth me beside still waters. The old song said, somewhere in the valley below, and he calls me aside to be tested and tried, for in the valley he restoreth my soul. Anybody stood beside a roaring river for enough time to where you could actually hear the roar of the river? Anybody ever been to where you've been to the river and just been roaring and rushing so loud for so long that you could barely hear yourself think? Now think about in the spirit, if you will. You're standing in the calamity of life. You're standing right by the river that is roaring because the floodwaters have been rising, because situations have been coming, because the wind is still blowing. But somebody here tonight, you needing to lead you beside the still waters. Oh, for no noise, for just a little peace and quiet, so that I can gain my bearings, so that I can regain my strength, so that I can be touched from heaven. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's a place outside Jerusalem, from everything I've been able to study. You've been there? There's a place, is there not? Two peaks calls the road that is known as the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It's a road that is traveled sparingly, traveled with a watchful eye, because those two peaks consist constantly cast a shadow. Robbers and thieves dwell in that shadow, and they would constantly put people under the gun and take everything they had while traveling in the dark time. David said, I will travel that dark time. I will go in those dark places. I will travel the road that no man likes to travel. He didn't say, if I do. He said, yea, though I do. There's going to be times we travel the road that nobody else wants to go. There's going to be times we have to pray the prayer that nobody else wants to pray. There's going to be times we got to fast the meal, fast the week, fast the multiple days nobody else wants to fast. But yea, though I walk through the valley. He didn't say he's going to take me to the valley. He didn't say he's going to drop me off in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not going to forget that when I come out from the other side of those peaks, the sun is still shining up ahead. The sun is still shining. You're going to get daylight again. What's it going to take to get there? You're going to have to wait. Thou preparest a table before me. I'm fixing to move past the 23rd, but I feel the Lord. A table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I went to public school. Cafeteria can get real loud at times. But if you can just get food in everybody's mouth, it gets quiet. Thanksgiving dinner at the Howell House. I got two brothers, wife, mom and dad, grandparents, aunts and uncles. Laugh and carry on and have a good time and can't get a word in edgewise, and it's just a roar. It's chaotic. Until right after grace, about 30 seconds to a minute after the prayer said, when everybody is sitting down with the full plate and the fork starts moving. And that chaotic time period goes to silence throughout the house. You don't normally hear a cat walk, but you can hear the cat walking while we eat. Why is that? Because there has been a table prepared where you can pull up a seat and regain your strength in the midst of the chaos. Now, can you imagine with me for just a moment that the raging war has gotten so loud that the old country, now you may not be country here, but the old country saying is, I've had it up to here. I've had all the chaos I can stand. I've had all the trouble I can stand. I've had it up to my eyes with noise. I've had it up to my eyes with the inability to make things happen for myself. But David said that thou preparest a table for me. I can't even prepare it on my own. But right in the midst of the chaos, he's going to lay out a table. He's going to set your plate and your cup down. He's going to put your silverware there. And he's going to allow you to gain rest. Allow you a place of rest. Allow you a place of comfort. Right in the presence of your enemies. Right in the midst of the war. Right in the midst of the hustle and bustle. Right in the midst of your life. My God of heaven is going to come down and give you a place to rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, peradventure, if you will, 6 months, a year down the road, David's going through something else. And he goes ahead because he knows in whom he's believed. He starts this one off. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? He's the strength of my life. He's the only way I can have it. My Lord, David just had to take a moment and go ahead and have himself a flashback. He had to go ahead and just look behind him at everything he'd come through, Brother McDonald, and had to wave bye-bye to it, because he said, of whom else shall I be afraid if I'm standing here in the midst of the presence of the Lord? If the Lord be on my side, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, tell me, where would I be? Now may Israel say, if it had not been, can I look around and see that he's done it again, and go ahead and say, in my trouble, he's my strength, he's my light, he's my song, of whom shall I be afraid? Somebody here tonight, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, your testimony is, they stumbled and fell. Somebody here, you feel like an host has should have camped against you, but my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David wrapped up the 23rd Psalm with wanting to dwell with goodness and mercy following him and staying in the house of the Lord. He starts off his trouble in Psalm 27 saying, I've got but one desire, and that's to stay in the house of the Lord. Why would the psalmist kick off like that? Because at times it feels like it's in the house of the Lord that I only get my peace. At times it feels like it's in these four walls is the only time I can get any rest. It's in these four walls is the only time I can get any strength. It's in these four walls I can ever get my bearings about me. So I'm going to go ahead and lay it out there and say, this is where I desire to be. This is where I desire to stay. This is where I hope that I can just hang in there and tangle myself in with the house of God and inquire in his temple so that nothing else comes my way. If we can just stay in the house of God, all our troubles will pass by. If If we could just stay in the house of God. Ain't that how it feels sometimes? Don't it feel like if we could just put our cot right here in the sanctuary that everything would pass by and we'd have no trouble? For in time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me and shall set me upon a rock. He dives into this thing. He's diving in from one part of waiting to another. See, in Psalm 1, he has bound himself together with righteousness after having already seen what will happen if he don't. In Psalm 23, he has bound himself with the house of God after having seen what the active actions of God do for him when he just allows God to follow him around and hangs out in his presence. But now in Psalm 27, it just ain't giving him the peace that he was hoping, because there's still trouble in the house of God. But then he realizes it ain't just to bind together, but it is also to expect. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have all mercy also upon me and answer me. He's prayed so much now, he is petitioning to be answered. He's praying so much now, he is hoping and praying that God is actually listening. I feel like there's some folks in this house tonight. You've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed. There's an old spiritual song said, I prayed and I prayed. I prayed all night long. I prayed and I prayed until I found the Lord. Oh, I moaned and I moaned. I moaned all night long. I moaned and I moaned until I found the Lord. Oh, my soul couldn't be contented. There's some folks in the house that the prayer hadn't been answered yet. The soul hadn't been contented yet. And we are now starting to petition God. Answer me. Where are you? Answer me. I need help. Answer me. I need to hear your voice. Answer me, oh God. Answer me, oh God. Answer me, oh God. Answer me, O God. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I need an answer, O God. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not away thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. That's how you feel. That's been your prayer for a little while now. Where it just won't happen like you thought it should. Where it just won't happen in the time of prayer like you're putting everything in and it just don't feel like it's coming to pass. You expected it, but now expectation is waning. For you say, I've waited as long as I can wait. But the last two verses, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had given up completely. I had fainted. I had stopped praying. I had stopped believing. I had stopped looking. Patiently tarrying. I had stopped patiently waiting. I've actually prayed the prayer that said, God, if you don't answer me by such and such, I'm not talking about me. I feel it right here. Somebody has prayed the prayer with the time restraint. I need an answer by such and such, or I'm done. I need your answer, God, or I'm going to give in. I feel like I'm bending. I feel like I'm about to break. I feel like I'm about to cave in on myself. I am fainting, oh God. I'm at the place where I don't have anything left to give unless I believed. In case you didn't see it, that believed is past tense. That means when this was written, he was at a point where he could then remember the direness of the situation that he had been in when he felt this prayer. That shows you a promise that if God showed up before, even in the dire moments where you felt like that was it at that time, he'll show up again before you cave in this time. Before it gets to where the pressure is unbearable. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, Paul said, there hath no temptation overtaken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. He's faithful and will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now that's going to make it sound like, if you stop right there like we normally do, that God's going to make a way where I can walk out from under this problem. And I felt like I was about to faint. I'm waiting for that door to fly open. But the scripture don't end that you might be able to escape it. The scripture says that you would be able to escape, that you might be able to bear it. That means when you finally get to the point where it feels like you're really breaking, he's about to show up because he's not going to forget you. He didn't forget you last time. He didn't forget you the time before that. He's never left you alone to die. I had fainted unless I believed. At the very last moment, something rose up inside of me and said, wait on the Lord. You're here tonight, and you feel like it could be the very last moment. I'm not saying you feel like you're going backside. You feel like it's time to give up on this prayer. Lost family, don't give up. Healing, don't give up. Problems, financial crisis, health, don't give up. Got a mountain you're facing in your spirit. Don't give up. See, the land of the living, he laid that out as actually the direct opposite as a valley of death. So he's already come through the valley of the shadow of death. And now he is standing in the land of the living because he believed. Because he waited. Because he was tangled. Oh, I'm here with one last word of encouragement from heaven. You're here at your last strand of hope. But the God of heaven sent this preacher by to let you know, if you wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he shall strengthen. Oh, not he might will. Not he might come by. But he shall strengthen thine heart. You need to be strengthened. You need some new joy. You need some new peace. If you entangle with God, he shall strengthen your heart. Stand with me if you would. Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in chapter 6, verse number 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. There's some folks in here, you feel like you're fainting, but God's come by tonight just to strengthen your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, right now for your anointing and your help. God, I feel your presence in this house talking to hearts and minds. I ask you, Lord, to let your Holy Ghost move upon us. Meet us in this altar. Help us, encourage us, strengthen us. Bring back the joy of our salvation, oh God. Move right now, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Church, there are some people in this house with very dire needs that you wouldn't even normally tell folks. But I ask you, would you be willing to throw your hands up and say, God, I'm still waiting. Oh, I felt like I was going to give in. I felt like I was going to crack. But God, I'm still waiting because you promised if I would, you would strengthen me. If I promised, you promised if I would, you would help me. There's hands, there's heads nodding, there's hearts opening. Oh, I ask you right now, church, as hands have gone up across the building, can we gather in this altar and say, God, I'm still waiting. I'm declaring it. I'm still looking. I'm still praying. I'm still believing one more time. There's hands going up around this building. I ask you right now, this altar's open. Come on, church. Everybody in this church, there's something you need from God. You've acknowledged it. You raised your hand. You shook your head. Now it's time to tarry. If somebody would help us on this piano, I feel like somebody can get some help here tonight. Move, oh God, in this place. Oh, yeah. God of heaven, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.